Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news from the WordPress community. Now, welcome your hosts, David Wormsley and Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You have reached episode number 371, entitled NoScript Show Episode 9, Does Baseline Solve Our Browser Support Problems? It was published on Thursday the 2nd of May, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll talk with David Wormsley in a few short moments, but before then, a few bits of housekeeping. The Page Builder Summit! The wait is over! You can sign up for your free ticket to the Page Builder Summit. Head over to pagebuildersummit.com. Make sure to scroll down and have a look at our really very large list of speakers. There's bound to be some familiar names in there, maybe some topics that tweak your interest. Anyway, the whole thing is happening from the 20th to the 24th of May, so not long away now. Pagebuildersummit.com. We've got loads in store. There's prizes, bingo, giveaways, networking, and obviously there's roughly 40 sessions available for you as well. Once more, pagebuildersummit.com. Give us your email address and we will keep you in touch when it all starts to happen. The other thing to mention is that if you would like to advertise on the WP Builds podcast and get your product or service out in front of a WordPress-specific audience, we'd love to have you on board. wpbuilds.com/advertise if you want that to happen. A bit like these two fine companies. The WP Builds podcast was brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also sponsored by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we thank both GoDaddy Pro and Bluehost for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay. What have we got for you today? Well, it's David Wormsley and I. We're back hijacking the WP Builds podcast with our, well, in air quotes, new podcast. We're on episode 9 of that. I'll probably put a few more into the WP Builds feed before we separate them permanently. If you fancy following along with what we're doing, you can go to the URL noscript.show. Once more, noscript.show. Over there, you will see a website which is in the making. The whole point of the podcast is we're making the website the third presenter, if you like. And the idea is that over time, we will come up with suggestions from audience members, but also our own suggestions as to how we can improve that website. So we're starting really without using a CMS. We're just starting with the basics, HTML and CSS, and we've done a few episodes so far. And today we're talking about browser compatibility and something called baseline, which might be of interest to you. Back in the day when I was a young whippersnapper, it was really hard to work with websites because each browser did things differently. Fast forward to 2024, the browser companies seem to be talking to each other and everything is a little bit more unified, but some features are coming out on different browsers at different times, and it's really interesting having a chat today with David all about where can we go to find out what can we use and when can we use it. I hope that you enjoy it. Welcome to the NoScript web show about modern web design, where we look at what we can build today with minimal software dependencies and skills. With so much new CSS spec coming out, it seemed like a good time to have a chat about how we handle browser support. In particular, Baseline, which is a Google initiative introduced in 2023 that aims to make it easier for developers and other website stakeholders to understand what might be ready for production. David, after all these years, I don't think we've ever really had a chat on browser support, have we?
No, it's because, well, two reasons, I think. One is it's very boring. And secondly, I think probably because we're a bit slack when it comes to this thing. We've been, well, actually, we put this on the show notes, so you might as well bring those up now.
But let's do it.
Yeah, talking about kind of the past when it comes to this stuff. Now, it's come to the forefront, I think, now for us, or at least for me, because I'm back into the hand coding, and there's a whole heap of new stuff that is coming out from the W3C, and it's kind of hard to keep up with what browsers will support it so you can go into production. But previously, this... For us, in a way, we maybe, I don't know about you, Nathan, but I mean, you started obviously with the hand coding back in the days where we had IE6 or probably even going from IE5 to IE6.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Really that far back.
But, you know, more recently, we've just handed over, well, we did hand that responsibility over increasingly to platforms that we would, you know, as WordPress users for both of us, then we'd say, okay, well, the theme will take care of that kind of stuff for us, or the page builder later.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if you're a core participant of this podcast, you know, if you're really listening to this because you want to learn about modern CSS and HTML, this stuff will matter. But I think it's also quite likely that a lot of the people listening to this will never really have encountered this problem. You know, the expectation is that all the browsers are the same. It doesn't matter whether you're using Firefox or Chrome. They all do broadly the same thing. And it's got lost that in the mists of time, the browsers really, really went in their own direction. And then by the time that the page builders were rising in ascendancy, certainly in the WordPress scene, a lot of that interoperability had been solved. The browser manufacturers began to talk to themselves. And so both you and I just handed over the responsibility of what can a browser do to our page builder tool. And the assumption being that if it's built into the page builder, the builders of the page builder will have done the work of checking whether or not the things that they ship are possible. You know, can this actually be displayed? And and I'm still very much there. It has been a very, very long time since I've looked at this subject. So for me, this is actually, you said it was quite a boring subject. For me, it's really interesting because I genuinely haven't looked at this for ages. And yet, if you think about it, there's an awful lot of new stuff coming around. And if we don't know what's possible, then there's I think there's a significant chance that you'll ship something which simply won't work for a proportion of the users out there.
Yeah, it's been a transition. Obviously, when I first did it in the early days, hand coding, then you were always waiting. There's a wonderful, and I put a link actually on the bottom there to the introduction video by Rachel Andrew for Google, because she's a Google employee. And she actually talks about the kind of old days where you're really always were waiting for a browser to finally die, you know, so you could implement some of the new cool stuff that the later browsers supported. So it's definitely worth watching that one. But, yeah, my own experience of that really was that I handed over this control slowly. I mean, in WordPress, I used to have a theme framework and then built my own CSS, so I had to consider it. Then when I moved to a page builder, well, it used Bootstrap, which had already done the thought about what it can support as a massive popular thing. So no longer did I have to consider it. So it's come back to the forefront, not only because I've got the responsibility now, but also because so much has changed in the way that we've now got evergreen browsers that are pumping out monthly new features, and we've got so many new features coming out for CSS from W3C.
Can I ask you a couple of things around that? Firstly, if you are using tooling, so let's say, for example, that you're using a SaaS product like Wix or Squarespace, or if you're using a page builder inside a CMS like WordPress, do you think you need to be bothered about this subject, or do you think it is a fair assumption still to be able to hand that off to the developer?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, if we're doing it professionally, I think it was interesting to me. I won't mention the name, but one page builder that kind of usurped the one that I was using had a much lower level of support for older browsers than the one that I had. And from majority of people, perhaps they're using it for their own personal projects and it's not so much a worry, but I did notice that some developers there were caught short because it was ruining the layouts for certain professional clients that they might need to have. So I think it's still perhaps important to know.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the big problem, isn't it? You know, how many old browsers do we need to support? You know, that, and I don't think this conversation is ever going to solve that, but Baseline does at least help us know what the majority of the main core browsers will accept.
The other question that I had was, could you explain what an evergreen browser is? Because
we're going straight on. We put in our notes here, all of these points in order, but we're just skipping around. But and this also ties in with something which isn't in the notes, which is this whole thing we talked about before, this idea that the key players, the core browsers, the people behind Chrome or Chromium browsers, Edge, Microsoft, Safari, and Mozilla with Firefox, all kind of got together to agree within their roles in the W3C working groups that they would implement within a year with this interoperability, where they would all agree, right, we're going to achieve this and we're going to put this feature into our browsers, all of us. So that's come along, and I've forgotten what your question was.
No, it was just an explanation of what an evergreen browser is, because I expect that most people don't really even need to know because of the nature of how browsers work in the operating system these days. But when we were beginning our journey, there was no such thing. So it's just, you know, a contrast of what that's meant over the years.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they do update regularly now. I mean, they had a bit of an issue with Safari because it was tied to the operating system that they couldn't automatically update. But yes, it used to be a case where, well, updates, as Rachel Andrew mentions, you know, there was like a 2-year gap or something between, I think it was IE 6 and 7, or was it 5 and 6? Anyway, and that could be what, you're waiting on that one to be able to change. And people, really, you were waiting on people's computers to die, weren't you, to get the next browser, because people wouldn't do it for themselves. They wouldn't go and update themselves unless it was automated.
And the updating process was a manual process. And like you said, it was a big deal. So I remember when Firefox 3 came out. So back in the day when, you know, going from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6, that was a big moment. And then Google Chrome came along. And I kind of think it was the first one that kind of enforced auto-updating. If you use that browser, it was just going to do it in the background, so that when you restarted your computer, or, you know, you switched Chrome off and then restarted it, it would update. And there was no hint of you need to do anything. And that was a big moment, because suddenly it meant that the browser was always up to date if you switched your computer on and off, or you closed the browser down. And I use a variant of Chrome. I use Brave a lot. And they have this process of alerting you. I suspect it's the same in Google's Chrome. In the top right-hand corner, you get this little green button, which says update, and you press that and you wait 10 seconds and the browser restarts. And really, it's service as normal almost immediately. But that update button comes very frequently. You know, every few weeks, I'm hitting that update button. So there is a real change over time. And that's meant a lot of important things that can happen on the internet can now happen more or less instantaneously if the browsers support it. Yeah.
It's interesting, really, because I've not seen many people talk about it, because when you think about it, it does not give the, you know, browser vendors a whole lot of control that they can just update what you're going to have. And, you know, some of that might be about taking your data as well with some of them. And,
that's a good point. I can't remember the last time I updated my browser and it offered me an option to sort of decline something or accept something. It just happens. And it really is, as you'll know, it's 10 seconds you wait and then it's back to exactly where you were.
Yeah. And it's good for us. I mean, as people trying to build web pages, I mean, it's, you know, it's almost impossible to advance the web and make it look good if people are going to stay on their old browsers. So, you know, from our point of view, it's a good thing, but there is that other side where you think, allowing that much control to update.
Yeah. So sorry about that. I hijacked the conversation by asking what an evergreen browser was, and we totally skipped out this bit. So do you want to describe Baseline? I'm guessing, David, right? I'm putting my finger in the air here. I'm going to bet that a significant proportion of people who listen to this won't know that this exists. I know that for you, it's terribly important, but I'm guessing that Baseline will be a new and interesting thing for them.
Well, I've just seen it around, and it's only been around, I think it was May 2023 mm-hmm. that they introduced it. We'll know from that video if someone looks at that. But and so it is pretty new. And, you know, the key thing is that they've been rolling this out over time. So initially, I think it was just on web dev because it's a Google thing, but it's gone and it's shown now. So when there's a feature, a new CSS feature mentioned on the MDN or on Can I Use, which is what I think most people I know go to as the website to see what browser support is for feature. It's also Baseline has now been added to all of these places. And it is. And we didn't set this up really. We should have done so we can see what it looks like.
Yeah, I can just give you the URL though. I mean, it's a fairly easy yeah. thing to find. The URL is just if you go to web.dev/baseline, or you can just go to our show notes, which yeah. is noscript.show/9, because this is episode 9, and you can find a link to it there. But it just explains what it is. We could put it on the screen, but it just says who's involved and what it is. But do you want to just paraphrase that? Who's involved and what it is?
Yeah, I did. I just want to clear something up on that, though. It's just what I meant is where it's showing, because on all of those documentations, so if you go to Can I Use now, you've got a little bar on the top that says Baseline and a nice tick. And if you go to the MDN records, so it's gone to these three platforms. So when you arrive to learn about a new feature that you could use in your websites, suddenly you've got this big Baseline saying, it's saying two things. So I'll fill in this. Baseline comes out and it has two stages, which is newly available, which means that it's supported by those core browsers. So in theory, we should be able to put it into that, gives you a tick and we should be able to support it. And then we've got the other stage, which is widely available, which is when 30 months have passed. That's how, as I was reading it, the feature now can be used on most sites without worrying about support. So, and usually when it gets to widely available, instead of just featuring the core browsers who have agreed under the interoperability to implement things, what I've noticed, if you go to, say, the MDN records and look for more details, if you take something like Grid, which has been around for some time, you'll see that it starts to list other where it's implemented in other browsers, say Samsung and things. So it's quite interesting. So it does add on to it. But Baseline in theory is something where we can say, okay, it's newly available. There might be some bugs with it somewhere else, but I should be able to use this in production because it's supported by most of the browsers. And if it's widely available, in theory, we should be able to say, look here, client, This is what this says. This is measuring this. We should be able to use this.
Right. And so I was just going to paraphrase everything that you just said, if that's all right. So the Baseline is essentially it's a place where you can go and you can judge whether some new feature of, I'm going to put air quotes around this, the web. So let's say, I don't know, something in CSS or something like that. Is widely supported or newly available. Well, actually, the language is newly available or widely available. If yes. it's newly available, then it's probably going to be usable. But if it then moves to widely available, then that means that, what did you say? 30 months? I think that's right. 30 mm-hmm. months has passed and you can more or less go to the bank on the fact that that's going to be supported in the browsers in question. And they are as follows, as of this moment, Safari on macOS and iOS. Interesting. Firefox on desktop and Android. Also interesting, because I don't know if they have an iOS version, but there you go. Chrome on desktop and Android. Again, no mention of iOS there. And Edge, but only on desktop. And I do know that they have an Android version, and it's had millions of downloads. So That's the rules around which Baseline is working. It's like a philanthropic endeavor to just make it easy to understand what you can start using with confidence.
I think when you get to widely available, usually if you go to Can I Use, where we usually get a sort of percentage, you usually find that that's in the high 90s. Yeah. And really, you don't find anything. I think there's almost next to nothing that's a feature of CSS that's fully supported to 100%. Mm. There's always something out of that. There is some, I mean, I think this is a great incentive, and there's a good reason behind having this baseline, because clearly with evergreen browsers and monthly updates or multiple updates coming in a month, adding new features in, some of them which won't be in that project with the interoperability. So Chrome has run ahead with some things, which they all can. They're all guaranteeing to implement certain things they agree on within a year. But after that, it's up to them when they do that within that year and what they want to focus on out of the spec. They might jump on something which is in the spec as far as the W3C is concerned, but it's not part of what they've agreed to implement altogether as the core browsers. So I think when you get to a widely available, then it's probably caught on by other browsers and end up being in the 90%. But there's an article which was slightly critical back last year. It's from, and I put the link in the show notes there. It's there if you scroll down there. It's an article by someone called Mollily, where she was, and it looks like things have been changed a little bit on there, but she was just pointing out that the at layer role, which is fairly new, was showing widely available as baseline, as it's showing in various places. But when she looked at it using Can I Use, it was still only supported by about 90% of browsers at that point.
So what we need is a new service which combines baseline with Can I Use. Abstraction. We can have a graph of does it work in baseline? Does it work in Can I Use? Yet another layer of abstraction. No, so you're basically saying there are people challenging whether or not baseline is actually keeping perfectly up to date, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's, for one thing, it was slightly changed when I saw it, so it seems to have been downgraded. I'm not quite sure if the article has checked everything correctly or I've read it correctly, but it was just interesting that you can, in terms of Can I Use, get a percentage. Now, most people I know, have you got the tab there, Nathan?
With I have, on? Yeah. Let me,
might be worth talking about this.
Put that one on. Okay.
Because before baseline, this is pretty much where, and it still is, if I watch a YouTube video, somebody will probably talk about browser support and go straight here as the place to get the statistics. And we were having a play around earlier as well. So what I don't see many people mention, but there are some in the under the settings, a way of being able to pull in, import the data for different areas. So you did that, Nathan.
Yeah, earlier. Give me audio listener, but we're on the caniuse.com website, and there's a button where you can click to alter the settings, and you can add in, well, the thing that we did is we added in the UK as and the United States as data to show, but also we did play around with the view mode a little bit as well. But anyway, the settings are just buried here, right at the top in the header.
Yeah, and we was just enjoying as two Brits the fact that often when we're looking at support for many of the things that we looked at was slightly higher in the UK than it was in the US of A.
Yeah. It's an interesting way of parsing it, that, isn't it? Because, you know, we're all using the exact same browsers. It's just the cocktail of who's using what in which country, which leads to those numbers to go up. But we're looking, you can see at the top here, we put in grid. And so we're able to see, for example, that grid support is, you know, the further down this chart that you go, the more recent the version of that browser is. So here's Chrome's latest update and Edge and so on. So you can see that basically Chrome and all the other major browsers have a green light on grid. So that is one thing that we can use.
Yeah.
But if we were to change grid over to something a bit more, air quotes again, cutting edge, we might find that it's a bit more patchy, as a few more red spots here and there.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. And what we can see on this, for those who are watching on YouTube, is that the baseline is actually written there. So just above the title, that's saying CSS grid layout level 1, then we have, and that's what baseline is being used. It's being represented there in all Can I Use. So you get a quick overview of that. That's a widely supported in all major browsers.
When we're looking at Can I Use, and we're, like I said, we're looking at grid, is it the fact that this looks like a tick? Is it this tick is that icon representative of a tick? Because it also feels like it's a logo, you know, like this.
No, it's a tick. You're not set up to do this, but it would be interesting to look at the MDN records and that. So you get a slightly more information than the little tick bar on that one, but so it looks slightly different. But it's been added in only quite recently. They didn't come out with this
That's a very, very quick way of determining. So if that's a tick, then we can be confident that Baseline at least is saying that there is, what did we call it? It's widely available in Chrome, Edge, Safari, and Firefox. That's just, you know, you can take that in one quick hit of the eye. If you've got the little tick. Yeah, that's actually really useful, isn't it? You don't have to sort of delve around in here. You can just see straight away if it's done. Okay, all right. Thank you.
One of the interesting things, I mean, we said we were going to look into this, and I did from this one. I think it was the article by Mullally that actually made me aware, because I often wonder this, where did this statistic, where did they get the data for camera
use?
Well, it's StatCounter, which I've often looked at as well for browser support.
But where do they get it from?
Well, that's the thing. Now, what they say, and there's a lot of frequently asked questions, which does a good job at answering those kind of questions. So I've got them in our show notes. The summary is that the data's coming from 1.5 million plus sites, which is amounting to 5 billion page views per month. And that's what is counting.
It sounds like a lot, but then if you imagine, you know, the internet as a whole, that's probably chicken feed in terms of the actual amount of sites being browsed and the sites available online. I mean, it's still jaw-dropping amounts of data, but I do wonder quite how accurate that is. And it'd be kind of interesting to drill down into that one time to see which 1.5 million sites. You know, because I suppose that would matter. You know, if it was 1.5 million very reputable sites, well, great. But if it's 1.5 million very edge case, weirdy, old designs from GeoCities, then perhaps not.
Exactly. And, you know, can you imagine if it was, you know, say we looked like we were doing slightly better in the UK for support on some of the newer features. But what if that's just the fact that their partners that they have in the UK are mostly putting them on tech sites where it's likely to have people who will have modern browsers more than, say, something else? So we were talking earlier, and I was mentioning to you this kind of with having a bunch of clients who do counseling and psychotherapy.
Wow.
And yeah, looking at some of their stats. Yeah, that there was such an obvious skew towards Apple products and particularly the Safari browser compared to other sites that I was used to. So I think it's something to do with that kind of middle class audience who go for, you know, private psychotherapy, who might go for that kind of products. And it's, you know, so I have to, so regardless of Baseline, you still end up coming back to what you might know about.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. So the demographic of that particular audience, but you can imagine that there's a whole bunch of audiences where the demographic skews upwards socioeconomically. They're probably going to have a different relationship with their technology. So, you know, typically an iPhone is more expensive than an Android phone. And actually, you do find that in North America, iOS, iPhones dominate the smartphone market. Whereas if you look at other places like South America and Africa, it's typically Android that's winning that battle by a massive margin. And then you look at Europe, it's, you know, it's smorgasbord of countries. It's a bit of a mixture. Some countries, it appears that iOS, and the default, I think, for many on iOS is just to use Safari. And then, you know, other countries will be Android, and so it goes. And so it's really interesting, you know, A, what devices are they using? B, what's the sort of socioeconomic impact of the niche that they're in? And it will all skew, won't it? So in the case that you're describing, if it's like psychotherapy or whatever it is, the assumption there, I think, that you were making was that it's probably those people who are browsing those websites have probably got a little bit of disposable income and so on and so forth. There's a high likelihood that they'll have a modern up-to-date device and so on and so forth, right? It's really interesting, the psychology of it all.
Yeah, I think it is as well. I mean, effectively, it hasn't made much difference. A baseline would have been enough probably to cover me. Most of them seem to have a more modern browser. And with interoperability, it's not been such an issue. But sometimes that might, it did concern me a little bit because there is that issue where I think typically we're looking for the last two versions of the core browsers. If they've been supporting it, then we pretty much feel it's safe to go ahead with it for main production for most of us. But it did make me concerned where there might be a lot of Safari, knowing that some of the older iPhones cannot update their browser. They're not evergreen because it's baked into the way that the operating system is. So I wondered to myself whether that might have an impact, but obviously I've not seen any issue. Obviously these people who can afford a psychotherapy can also afford the latest iPhone.
Exactly. Yeah, it really is interesting. Yeah. Okay. Where should we move next then? We've got this other topic here. Did you finish everything about
using
baseline cautiously? Yeah.
Yeah, you did mention something here, and I don't know if it's in our notes. It's not, because it's a kind of aside that we had, and that was, there's a gap in my knowledge. You were talking about the fact that there's so many other browsers out there.
Yeah.
And most of them, we guess, are Chromium. So we imagine, not knowing much about browsers, this is more investigation to do, you know, that they would just automatically get the kind of new CSS features that come with Chromium. So no issue.
Yeah, that is my assumption, but I don't know.
But, and this is what I discovered the other day, it always interested me that they mentioned as one of the core browsers Edge, which is Chromium. So you wonder, why do you need to look at that and measure that one? And I came up with it only yesterday, and I'll be doing a video on it. There's a new CSS light and dark where you can actually have your light and dark preferences side by side. And I was looking at support. It's not supported very well at the moment, but supported in Chromium, but not in Edge. And I thought, okay, so I don't know anything any longer.
That is interesting because you would imagine that core feature would ship out of the Chromium project, not only to Google's Chrome, but to Microsoft's Edge and to any derivative of Chrome. But there are lots of derivatives of Chrome. Just to mention a few. Now, actually, I don't know that these are derivatives of Chrome, but I'm sure that some of them are. But so, for example, DuckDuckGo has a browser. There's a browser called Brave. There's a browser called Blisk. There's a browser called Safari. Vivaldi. It ends in an I. and they are, as far as I'm aware, they're all Chromium derivatives. But they all have a little twist on the UI. You know, one touts itself as more developer-y, you know, with developer tools baked into it. One touts itself as a bit more secure, so it's stripping out, I don't know, third-party cookies or ad networks or things like that. And then there are other ones that I've heard of, for example, one called Sidekick. There's a bunch that you can get on the mobile devices as well. And I don't know whether they're adding new things in differently or taking away things differently. My assumption was that it was always like UI components or things around the edge of the browser, not the edge of the, you know what I mean? So things like the security model and the third-party cookie model, but not the presentation layer, not what would be shown on the screen, which is what is of interest to us. I don't know, but if Edge is doing something different with the light dark, then something's going on. And let's hope we don't go back to the good old days of having to inspect every browser for everything. Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, there is notes on that as well. Funny enough, I did actually test it, and it, even though it's saying on baseline that it's not supported, in fact, it actually was.
It worked
in my version. But my only rationale behind it, and I'd love somebody to tell me what's actually happening, I never bothered to read the bug note. So is it something that it does work natively? There's something that Edge have done with implementing something else which has broken that particular feature. So that's maybe why it's listed as not working when Chrome does work. Anyway, we have got, I think baseline has come in and helped in many ways because it gives us something we can talk about where we couldn't before, because we could talk to a client, about, okay, we just got to wait for IE5 to die and we're almost there. So dear client, we can, looks like we're building this. It's going to be a few months. We can go ahead with this one. Now we can't say the same with monthly updates. We can't know what version we're on with any of the browsers. We don't know what's going on. So baseline at least solves that kind of problem first. At least we can say, look, this is some measure of what is probably production ready based on the core browsers that are out there and how influential they are.
Yeah.
But we still don't get away from what do we do about that? And there's kind of two approaches in a way to dealing with it anyway. Some of these are mentioned in W3C called graceful degradation and progressive enhancement.
Easy for you to say.
I wish it was. These are kind of terms that are bandied around and they're kind of two sides of the same coin, really. So graceful degradation is kind of the approach where you might go at building for the modern browsers whilst considering that there's a less experience for older browsers, but not so much caring about that. And then progressive enhancement is perhaps the more favored way of people who are much cleverer than me are going about things, where they start with the base level in the way that they build their websites, and then everything else is seen as an enhancement. If this browser supports it, then this is going to make the experience better for all. I actually did it on this site on our episodes, and I think it's also on one of the other pages. There was I put Subgrid in, which is really got enough support. And this is something that you can at least add in a certain way. It was just to put a little line between text and separate a sort of subgrid so things were even. So if your browser didn't support it, well, things would just be a bit uneven, but the content would still be there. So progressive enhancements are a little bit like that, where you might run ahead with some of the things that might not be fully supported, knowing that they're not going to break some.
Could I posit a third option as well, which hasn't got an official title, but it's non-progressive unenhancement, which basically means you only do the things which you know will work. So you'll only implement, and I would imagine for most people that's going to be the default, right? You're not going to spend time on a client website where money's tight, deadlines are tight, building in a bunch of features that a tiny subset will use, but that will, swing up over time. Wouldn't the enterprise for most people simply be to say, okay, I will just build the things that I know are going to work? So it's neither graceful degradation nor progressive enhancement. It's just whatever I want to call it. It's just build what we know works. Look at baseline, do that, come back in a year's time, have another run at it.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that's probably where the progressive enhancement people start. Let's make sure that it works for everybody. And then...
Right. Okay, so then it's progressive non-enhancement, if you know what I mean. You just leave it there. You don't enhance anything. You just do the bare minimum, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the progressive enhancements people might not enhance much. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But there are, and there always have been, because you see how annoying it is, to go back to the past, I think it was from IE5 to IE6, you would wait just to have flipping rounded corners on stuff instead of having to cut out little images and put them round things so they look like they've got rounded corners.
We're now really showing our age, aren't we? And there were things like transparent PNGs.
So all of that stuff, but we still got similar kind of thing happening for us now. And I think due transitions, which is only in Chromium at the moment, which will come to all, but it's not, as far as I understand, agreed as part of the interoperability. But, you might want to just run ahead for that because it's so wonderfully cool. And if only it's going to happen for the people who've got Chrome, and it seems to be about 60% people, okay, the rest of them will just not get a lovely transition to their page. They'll just get a regular transition. So that's progressive enhancement, I think, at its best. Where it fails is... where you've got a feature, and that's in that article that was looking at layers that was saying that it had less support but was put down as widely available. That's a breaking feature. So effectively with layers, you put in a bunch of CSS in an area separate to where your main CSS is. So those browsers who can't read it suddenly won't have that styling that you've put in there. So you really need to be quite smart about using that as a progressive enhancement. It's more of a breakable thing.
It's kind of interesting what came out of that little paragraph that you said there, you know, the last minute or so, is I guess the progressive enhancement is all about the things which are cool, for want of a better word, the things which really are transformational. You might put the time in because, you know, having rounded corners, as we said, or a transparent image, as we said, that was groundbreakingly significantly better. The whole experience everything looked better. And the same would be true here. You're not going to do those really weirdy edge cases, things that don't really do a lot for your project, but the ones where it's transformational, it will take, for those users who can enjoy that progressive enhancement, it will take it from a mere experience to, oh gosh, that's significantly better. Maybe that's where you put your time. You just judge what is significant, what will have the most impact, and work on those.
Yeah, I mean, I think the graceful degradation approach is the sort of, you know, you're just going to give for the best because you're not, it's about the time, isn't it? With the new CSS functions, you know, rounding corners, you know how painful that was to try and cut out images and then position them around something to create that, when you could just do it with a line of CSS with border radius, you know? So that, you know, you might just say, okay, I'm going to go for that. I'm going to go for latest, and graceful degradation will be that they won't get any rounded corners, you know,
right.
Doesn't matter, you know, but I want people to have the best stuff that's out there. So cost comes into this. I think this is such a big topic, isn't it? But there are two. I did put in the notes there two things that I suppose go with the approaches, I guess, at least my interpretation. And that is that for those who might prefer a more graceful degradation approach, there's polyfills, which is, you know, JavaScript really, which will just mock up the missing features that are in older browsers. So you can get away with that, can't you? So something's coming in, you know, it's coming to W3C. You want that stuff now. You don't want to do the alternative way of doing it. You stick it in and you find a polyfill and you use that. It does mean that you rely on JavaScript, which the progressive enhancement people go, yeah, you need JavaScript for this CSS thing. So yeah, so it might not suit those. And then the other thing for progressive enhancement, but really long-winded, is to use the @support, right? Feature query, as it's called. So it's a kind of like a media query, if you like, which will say, within that you'll say @supports, and then you put in the things. And if the browser supports them, it'll implement them. And if it doesn't, it'll ignore them. So that's a way of being able to progressively enhance.
And just that is actually really nice, isn't it? The fact that that is even a feature. You don't have to go through some strange way of detecting it. That's lovely. You know, you've got this option of putting things in, this conditional logic, basically, of is this supported? Yes, great, go for it. If not, then don't. That's nice. That's neat. So where does this leave us, is the question. And by us, do you mean us, me and you?
I don't know. I mean, after summarizing this, I do like baseline. I think what it is, but for this project, which we're doing at the moment, our website, which is part of the show, I think it's safe for us to say anything that comes under baseline is good enough for us.
Widely available baseline? You going for that?
No, newly. Newly, okay. I think, as well.
All right.
There might be some bugs with it. I think it's probably, that's my kind of take on it. And I think we will, as I've already done, one with the subgrid, use some progressive enhancements. Maybe we'll use this view transitions before it's in the other, because it's an experimental website for people who we expect will probably jump on modern browsers pretty early on. So I think that's
right.
But
for clients, maybe it's a different, I mean, with this website, you can go wherever you like, can't you? Because it's your project. It's like a pet project. It's not the basis of anybody's business relying on this or anything. So you can do what you like. And actually, the fact that the subject matter of the website is exactly this gives you license to do anything you like, really. Go as crazy as and cutting bleeding edge as you wish. But with clients, are you going to be much more cautious, you know, not implementing things that might work and might not? Is it more widely available from baseline?
Yeah, I mean, from, as we mentioned, not having to worry about it, it's been baked into the builder that we've had. I've suddenly had to think about it. So last few clients, I have mentioned, it's been one of these things that I've said, that, by the way, I'm going to be building this, basically with baseline in mind, almost before it came out, actually. But that kind of level of two browser support on the core ones, the last two versions, was enough. And I've been saying that to clients, unless there's other reason, that's what I'm going to do. So it won't support some of these older browsers, because I'm feeling that so much new CSS has come out and that evergreen browsers, people will catch up, that it won't be a good investment for me to hold back and do things a more complicated way. So yes, I've been largely saying that, but of course it's always going to depend, isn't it? As I say, if you know something about the client's existing traffic, if it's a rebuild, then you've got some insight as to what they might need to support, which might not be in keeping with what I would ideally want to do. So yeah.
Well, I guess time will tell, but it's there for you to check out now. You can go and look at baseline. I guess it's going to be important if you're an agency owner or something. You're going to have a posture on this. You're going to have to be explaining to your clients, like David just said, how many versions back in browser history do you want to go? And you'll be having those conversations. But do you think we've done that one? Is the baseline episode done? Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I just think it's a very nice thing to be able to sort of say to clients, to say, we work to this method, rather than have to make it up. You can say, here, we run to baseline.
Yeah, neat. Yeah, that's a neat way of just parsing it, isn't it? And then you can just give them the documentation. They can go and see, oh, okay, that kind of offsets the responsibility. You don't have to name the browsers one at a time. It's just, baseline.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a credential, isn't it? There's what you set, and then anything else is over the top, which might be needed by the client. So that, yeah.
Okay. So that was us. That was the NoScript show number 9. If you want to find all of the bits and pieces that we've been showing on the screen, go to the URL, noscript.show/9. You'll be able to find the episode there. /subscribe if you want to subscribe. And if you want to find us on YouTube, you probably have already, but it's youtube.com/@ no script show. And like and subscribe, smash that bell, whatever it is that successful YouTubers ask you to do. Do that. Do a bunch of those things. I don't know what they are. But, okay. Are we done, David?
We are. Thanks. That was a good chat.
Yeah, perfect. Have a nice day. See you later.
Yeah, you do. Bye-bye.
Okay, I hope that you enjoyed that. Always fun chatting to David Walmsley about these different bits and pieces. If there's anything that you want to say, head over to wpbuilds.com and find episode number 371. Leave us a comment on the website there. Don't forget also to go to noscript.show, and if you add /9 to that, you'll get to the 9th episode. And follow us there. Probably follow us on the YouTube channel that we've got there as well. But hopefully you enjoyed that. It was certainly an interesting conversation. The WP Builds podcast was brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also sponsored by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we thank both GoDaddy Pro and Bluehost for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, that's all I've got for you this week. We'll be back next week for an interview. Please feel free to share the bits and pieces that we produce with your friends, colleagues, relations, anybody that you like. We'll be back on Monday for a This Week in WordPress show. And like I said, the episode of the podcast next week will be an interview. But that's all I've got for you. I'm going to fade in some cheesy AI-generated music and say, stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.